October since December 15, 1990, coming up on 20 years. We started at Bama. We started a recovery group. A little lady named Kay Petrie, who came right about to my belt buckle, came up and told me I had to go down there. She wouldn't leave me alone, so I went down there. And I agreed to go for 2 hours a Monday. I'm now there 50 hours a week. If you come down and work with us, we're going to get you. We're going to trap you. We're going to bring you in. In 1987, Gary told me to talk about the history a little bit, give you a little history, and then what we're doing today. Three men, Charlie Middlebrook, Doug Williams, Ron Sellers, started the church. You may know Charlie. He was at Tomball for a good many years. A heck of a theologian and a heck of a person. They decided that the churches were moving to the suburbs. They'd move back to the inner city because there were people there that needed to be helped, needed to be saved. So that's how we got started. In the first 10 years we were there, we moved 10 times. We were like our outdoorsmen. We were always looking for a place to sleep. If you know Harvey Davis, Harvey's one of our elders. He's been there since late 87. He came along. He leads singing and is a great motivator of people and is one of our elders. In 1989, Paul Woodard, I don't know if you know Paul Woodard. He's one of our pulpit ministers now, and he came. He never can tell me why he came, but he ended up there, and he decided they needed a youth ministry. So they bought an old rundown van and started going door to door to pick kids up. And that started our youth ministry. He's now a pulpit minister, been with us ever since. Quit his job, had a big time job with Burger King, and quit it. It's the magic of impact. It makes you understand how the outdoorsmen live. In 1997, we purchased a building at Weber and Colorado Streets, just right off Houston. It's I-10 and 45. It's right where we're at. And we've been in that warehouse since then. And since that time, we began to grow. We have a children's ministry. Our children's ministry is a very, very unique. We run 14 vans, 4 buses every day in the summer, 3 days a week to pick up about 300 children to bring them to church. Some of us say we have a babysitting service, but in a babysitting service, we also bring the kids to Christ. We have a tutoring service too. We're known for the inner city and our vacation Bible school runs 6 weeks. In the inner city, we're known to the schools because our children who come every day have an hour and 30 minutes worth of literacy. They read, they talk, they read the books, they discuss them. The teachers at the elementary school, Crockett, Kilson, that are close to us, tell us we can tell the kids who come to your Bible study or your vacation Bible school because they are advanced in their reading. We're noted for doing that. On Thursday night, we have about 120 kids on right now. Through End Hunger, we serve them a hot meal. Now, we get to nutrition in a little bit in this talk. We serve them a hot meal about so they don't have to eat at home and they're not a burden on their family's incomes. The middle school, this spring break, we had 6 churches, 150 kids there to handle for 2 weeks to handle spring break from all over the United States, all the way from Maine. We had somebody from California drive in with 2 buses of kids to help us. This summer, we had 48 interns, 300 volunteers, 350 kids. It's almost 1 kid per volunteer for 6 weeks on our campus. We're dedicated to youth. We're dedicated to keeping them in Christ and giving them the Lord to live with and how to live the rule, you know, the life we live. Most of the kids that we have are single family homes. Most of the kids I have may not know who their father really is. So we supply that for them. The middle school teacher, his name is Joseph, and I never can say this right. It's a Polish name, Bilniski. Grew up in the area. Grew up in the poor part of Pasadena. Became a theological leader. Studier, graduated from college. He's back working with our kids. Dennis, the kid that you just saw baptized, and Dennis came to us when he was 16. He came on a youth group. He's our high school minister and the director of the youth program. He came to us one summer when he was 16. He's been there ever since. He's 32. He says he's not leaving. The job at Impact is a passion. It's not a job. Four of our young men from the church did internships, two at the Camp of the Hills, two at the Church of Christ in downtown Tulsa, Oklahoma, this summer. We have 18 children from the Jim Brooks Foundation. Now, you may know Jim from BAML, started a foundation to help kids go to college. We have 18 kids that we're supporting going to college now from the barrios, from the poor areas that earned their way and are doing well. Yubia Flores is one of our youth ministers. She does the tutoring. She came up through the church, went to Texas A&M. Nobody's going to give me a whoop. Went to Texas A&M and came back to dedicate her life to teaching the children, like she did. The Spanish ministry is growing. We have about 200 to 250. We're looking for a new bilingual minister. It's amazing in the last 3 years what the changes we've seen, the growth we've seen, the people coming back to Christ through the inner city, which is just an amazing thing to us. They have small groups on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And you know what? The Hispanic congregation, boy, do they eat good. And they can make beans and rice 350 ways. You never know you're going to get the same thing. Magdalena is a Hispanic lady who showed up at our door to be a part-time receptionist. She's been with us ever since. She's received two awards from the state of Texas. She leads a women's group on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They do community service. They did the battered women. They have an Al-Anon group. They basically do everything to teach these women how to cope in their lives, financial. They do the Dave Ramsey program in Spanish. So she's out doing. She received two rewards from the state for guiding the women of Texas in the right direction. The rest of the congregation is, we're just rolling along like you wouldn't believe. We have tons and tons of people coming in and out. Today a group of BAML was down there, and I think West Houston was cooking dinner for the people. We feed about 400 every week, every Sunday after service. Churches come in and volunteer their time and bring their service, bring the food. It's an interesting variety of food that we get, too. But we have from West Houston to Lake Houston to Angleton, all bring and serve a dinner to us. The newest program we have is one of the reasons I went down there. We've opened a small house across the street from us, where we call the Recovery House. The Recovery House is 6 to 8 men. That apply, agree to terms of a contract, sign a contract for 6 months, that they will try not to drink and drug. We put in there they're not going to drink and drug, but we put try now. Try not to drink and drug. It took us, the first group of men went through, and it's a 6 month program. We ended up with two left sober, one left sober now. You say 1 out of 8, that's only 12.5%. The best recovery program in America, Betty Ford, any of those, if they're 10%, they're really lucky. So we're working with these people to get their papers. You know, you ever thought about this? This is a true story. We have an Indian man, and he has his Social Security number, which the Social Security people gave him, on a piece of paper that says, this is your Social Security number. He has a birth certificate. So we went to get his Social Security card. They say, you can't get your Social Security card. We say, well, he needs surgery, so we need a gold card so we can get him sold. It's a gold card for medical. We can get him surgery. They say, with this number in his birth certificate, you can get a gold card. So we say, okay, we'll go get the gold card. And she said, when you get the gold card, come back, because with the gold card in his birth certificate, you can get his Social Security card. I mean, what's wrong with the government? You know, we did a feeding program with the federal government this year. An extra box of food for people. I don't know how our government works. I don't know how they pay the light bill in Washington, D.C. I'm sorry, folks. It's the craziest thing. We filled out paperwork till we're blue. And it's still not right. The guy told me the other day, we need more stuff to figure out to do more stuff, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we're trying to get them jobs. We're doing computers. We have my intern, Sterling, is with me. He's teaching them computer classes so they become literate in computers so they can get a job. We're trying to change the community as we see it. We're trying to let Jesus work through their lives so they can have the American dream. Now, the part of the thing that I'm going to talk your ear off about is the distribution center. When I started in the distribution center full-time in 2008, the year before I was there, we had served 67,000 meals. That's hot meals, stuff to make meals, and things like that. We give the best bag in town now because we work real hard at that. Make sure they get 2 frozen meats, some kind of vegetables, 8 canned goods, 2 pounds of beans, 2 pounds of rice, cereal, cake mixes, whatever we can give them, we give them. We had key lime pie cheesecake that everybody got a cheesecake recently. We find the strangest stuff out there. If you look around, it's amazing what you can get for a low price. This last year, 2009, remember 67,000? We served 363,000 meals. We're going to do a little over 420,000 meals now. The thing about that situation, they say, you know, this is a great deal. Somebody told me the other day, he said, you know, with the way it's going, you've got job security. I'll tell you what, if we could figure out a way to get people jobs, get them money, and I lost this part of my job, I'd be the happiest man in the world. Because hunger and poverty are just... we don't understand. I used to ask when I made these talks, I used to ask, have you ever been hungry? People raise their hand. Have you ever been hungry enough to eat out of a dumpster? They tell me. We have a man that comes and gets food and then goes and looks in the dumpster. Once a week he gets a bag of food and then he goes and looks in the dumpster. They tell me that when you're so hungry, and there's so much pain because of the hunger that you will eat anything to fill the void in your system. I don't think any of us understand that. I don't think any of us understand at all what that is. The average income of the people we serve is $15,250 a year. And everybody says, there's welfare, there's jobs. Most of them don't have that. The average family is 5.8 people. They make decisions every month that you don't have to make. Do I pay the rent? Do I buy food? Do I pay for the prescriptions or do I buy food? Do I pay a utility bill and I buy food? Interesting thing about the city of Houston, in the downtown city of Houston, if you pay whatever you pay for your light bill, double it in a half is what the people, because they have no credit. Inner city people pay way more than we pay for utilities, services, because they don't have the money. So that's why it's like a vicious circle. You know, we get them jobs, we help them get jobs, and they do things like that, but they continue in the cycle because people get fired. Companies close up. One of the most unusual things is people hire illegals, work them 2 or 3 weeks, and then pay them 1 week and don't pay them again. Keep the money. So it's a crime, but it makes the cycle go on. It goes back to tutoring. It goes back to church. We are their family. We are their community. As if you're the community of the church, we're the community of I-10 and 45. We live their lives too. I'm not trying to depress you with this, but I'm trying to tell you the reality of what is going on and what we are doing to meet these things. and we're growing and we're putting numbers and we're putting more people in school. We're doing all these things. But it's not enough. You know, it's not enough. I don't think we'll ever solve the problem. Ricker's an accountant or an economist at Rice University. This upward trend in people needing food, Ricker says it'll be 2020 before we see a decline in the numbers of people needing food. Rice is predicting the economy will not turn around significantly to 2020. I'm hoping they're wrong. I'm really hoping they're wrong. We do that in the best blessed way we can. You know, in Psalms 131, 133, verse 1, they tell us, wouldn't it be great if we could all get along and be together as a unit? You know? We try to do that. You know, it's the best job that I ever had. It's the most frustrating job I've ever had. You know? We ran out of canned goods recently, and I had to tell somebody that we could only put out 120 bags of groceries. We put out 500 to 600 bags of groceries a week for people. We feed the homeless two hot meals, give them two bags of food, and 4 days a week they get to come inside, sit and watch TV, and can take a shower and get their laundry done. We touch about 220, 230 homeless a week, right? We touch that, but that's the number of homeless in the city. Nobody's sure, but they're saying it's between 6,000 and 8,000, and the numbers are growing. The fastest growing part of the population for homeless is 17-year-old black men. No jobs, no education. Families can't feed them. It's not, you know, I guess I painted a pretty bleak picture here, haven't I? But the picture is bleak, but Impact Church is the bright spot in the neighborhood. We feed them, we clothe them, we love them, you know. I can tell you one thing I learned there, never ask God to surprise you. Somebody told me one time, pray for God to surprise you and see what happens. So I got up one night and I said, I'll do that. So I prayed for God to surprise me. I went to work. I get to work about 5:30 in the morning, and laying across my doorstep was this kid named Michael Thomas. Ear was split. He'd been beat up with a 2x4 and robbed of his money at a crack house. Right? He said he wandered by it accidentally. I cleaned him up and got him back in the deal, got him set down, called the ambulance for him. And I went outside. There's a portico over my building, a little shelter. I went outside and I looked up at God and I said, we're going to talk about what a surprise is. You know, because your idea of a surprise to mine is not the same. It's just that kind of thing. To this day, Michael lives in Austin. He's got a girlfriend. He's got all of his ID back. He's restored his life. He's paid all of his fines and parking tickets and all the stuff that the homeless get. He's got a small business making birdhouses. He's doing fine. That's one. That's the one that we got, okay? Because God surprised me. Boy, did he surprise me. You know, we see things. There, I have a woman that works for me. Her name is Patricia. And Patricia's kind of my right-hand man, person. And she's got the heart of gold. 7 kids, right? Husband who's a welder who works and doesn't work because of the jobs. He goes from job to job working. He's not a journeyman as far as America is concerned, but he works this way. One day, her truck was parked in front of my trash bin. So I went to Patricia and I said, Patricia, let me move your truck. When I turned it on, the light was, yellow light was on. For the, you know, low fuel. So I went inside and I said to Patricia, you know, it's low fuel. And she said, yeah, I don't have any fuel. And she delivers bags for me. She delivers 40 bags a month to people. So I gave her $25 for fuel out of money that we have laying around. And I gave her, said, here, put some gas in your truck, deliver the stuff. Next morning, she parked in the same place. Trash truck was back, had to move the truck. Went out and the light was gone again. So I went and said, Patricia, what did you do with the $25? She said, well, you know the lady who lives upstairs that I told you about that her husband had a heart attack? They came home from the hospital and they needed two prescriptions filled. And I said, continue. She said, two prescriptions filled? She said, yeah. So I've called the pharmacia. Now, we have a man at the pharmacia who works wonders with us. I don't know how he does it. I don't want to know. I'm not going to tell you who he is because I'm not sure he does it legally. But if I have a need and I can get him a bag of food, we get the pills and the drugs we need to keep people healthy. He says, how much money you got? She says, $25. Right? He said, I'll take it. So she drives her clean across downtown to the pharmacia, back to the place, drives it back to here, to my place. I drove it to the gas station to put gas in it this time, and I ran out of gas going over the hill. And I said, you know, you almost ran out of gas. She said, no, God takes care of me. Do you have that kind of faith? That no matter what, God's going to take care of you? No matter what, they do that. You know, it's just fascinating to me. I went down there with the theory that I could help these people and I could save them and I could deal with it and I can do with it. I will tell you the honest to God's truth that I don't think I've saved anybody. Most of the time I try to stay out of God's way. But I have learned from them the value of life, the value of love, and the value of friendship. You know? Their families are together. Patricia's daughter's having a baby, the oldest one. Margaret went last night. Was there 45 people there? 45 people at the baby shower, right? Somebody cooks. When somebody has a wedding in those groups, all the ladies come in and whatever they got in their wallet, they give to the lady that's having the wedding, right? When we had a lady get married on $82, she bought a dress, suit for her son to walk her down the aisle, a tux for her baby, right? They got some kind of ring out of the deal. And the food was prepared. We had enough, and people showed up from the church to deal, about 100. We had a food to feed 100. The food was kind of donated. Everybody brought, and we had a really great time. You know? Think about when you married your daughters, guys. Think about what we spent. Right? I mean, I have no regrets in what we spent when we married my daughter, but what I have is we can do it really cheap and it's really good. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Plans for the future, then I'll tell you one story about community. Charlie Middlebrook wants to put a lobby on the front. They're changing our territory, our demographics down there. They're building condos by us. They're going to put us in position with the condos that we need to convince these people to come to church with us. Okay? So that's a problem we have to do. Charlie thinks if we put a new lobby on the building and put a coffee shop in there that we can maybe get some of those people to church. Okay. Yeah. We're looking at a medical clinic. The city of Houston wants to help us with a medical clinic. Because of the emergency rooms are so crowded, we'll help them with the emergency rooms. And we're looking at a thrift store. You know? Some way to generate additional income for us. It's interesting when we talk about all this stuff, about doing it, down there that we just get up and do it. Now, if you come down, I want you to, you have an idea for us, I want you to talk to Charlie Middlebrook about it. Because Charlie will listen to you and he'll get real enthusiastic with you and he'll say, we should do that. And as you walk out the door, he's calling somebody that'll say, let's call Bob and talk to Bob about the fact that Bob's going to head up this program. Right? That's how I got in charge of the medical clinic, getting it done. Charlie and I talked for about 20 minutes, and I went to the back room. I was in the back in the kitchen, and one of the nurses from our church came up and said, you're going to get us a clinic. I said, where did you hear that from? She said, Charlie told me that. And since then, I've been in charge of that. I have no idea how that happened to me. I don't talk to Charlie now. Try not to talk to Charlie. Anyway, we're a group of people that have been there, that have been caught up in helping others. Down there trying to do the best job we can. We fight, we skirmish, it's sticky, it's messy. We have different ideas, we speak different languages. But at the end of the day, at the end of every day, we've done our best to save somebody, to bring them to Christ. And you know, it's rewarding that with the baptisms you see up there, the pump never works on that thing. They fix that pump every other week, right? Doug won't buy a new one. They fix that pump every other week. And the water's cold. But nobody comes out of that water complaining about it being cold. Right? You know, recently we had a guy named Willie Barnes come out of the water, threw his hands up, danced the jig. You know? Just one of those things. Community works this way, and then I'll quit. We had a lady show up. Black lady. She had duct tape shoes. Now, she'd put duct tape this way and this way around her feet. She had an old dress on. She was shaky. She was sick, having trouble breathing, dirty. Ended up here, said she hadn't been homeless very long, didn't know what to do. It's a difficult maneuver to be homeless. So, somebody got her feet cleaned up. One of the ladies cleaned her feet up and got her a pair of shoes. We got her a shower and got her dressed, got her clean clothes. Got her hair combed. In fact, one of the ladies trimmed up her hair, one of the other ladies trimmed up her hair. Three different ladies so far, okay? One of the guys, she didn't have money for her medicine for her diabetes. One of the guys drove her to the store. One of the ladies said, she said, I have asthma and I don't have an inhaler. One of the ladies dug around in her bag and said, I have an inhaler. She used it. She said, keep it. This person has really bad asthma. You're not getting my inhaler. I'm just not, you know, I can't see somebody with asthma giving up their inhaler. She gave up her inhaler so this lady would be okay. Guy drove her to the pharmacy. We found her a place where she could stay. Stick, one of the guys, former crack addicts, is doing real well. Put two mattresses and a couple of chairs in a pickup truck and drove them to where she was so she'd have something to do. We're talking seven different people touched her life and told her God will be with her. It happens every day at Impact. I thank you for the time we had to be together today. I want you to know that we're out. We're out there. If you can come down on Tuesday morning. Help us feed people. See what we do. Come to church on Sunday. We meet at 11:30. That's so you can go to church here. You have time to drive down, right? We'll buy you lunch afterwards. Some other church will make it for us. We'll come down and see what we do. Just see what we do. That's all I ask. Come down and see what it'll bless you to be there. Ask Bob, anybody that comes on Thursday. Ask Bob about Rudy. You know? Rudy's what they call a huffer. Huffer's it's brake fluid. It's his drug of choice. His mother makes him sleep on the back porch. She won't let him in the house because he steals everything. But Rudy's got a heart of gold. And Rudy's been clean about 45 days now. So, you know. Thank you very much.